Blog Talk Radio.
Lion of Judah shall break every chain. He is the conqueror. Now we sing a song of redemption and love. Song of liberty. Remove the chains of Babylon. He said, I'm free out of living in poverty, out of captivity. Judah shall break every chain. He is the conqueror. Now we sing a song of redemption and love. Song of liberty. Sitting on the mountain so peaceful and high. About reality. Leading the children to do right. Reveal the prophecy. Show I the way to Mount Zion. He said, I'm free out of living in poverty, out of captivity. Shall break every chain.
Sanctify, get sanctified. All God's people gonna get sanctified. Just
get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified. God Jah make the sea, He make up the land. Then He fast for them together with His mighty hand. And can lie upon the mic, me and the champion. All the people have to come in at the convention. Cause something in my heart is like a stream running down. And it makes me feel so happy, as happy as can be. Every time I think about Jah Jah and what He has done for me, hallelujah. Something in my heart is like a stream running down. Trevor, your ball out. Get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified. No stone in the river. No stone. No stone. No stone. No stone in the river. No stone. No stone. No stone. Pray you get sanctified. You got peace in your heart. No stone in the river. No stone. Follow me now, people. You just get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified. People in England get sanctified, ho. Up in Canada get sanctified. Jamaican people get sanctified, ho. Up in America get sanctified. Cause something in my heart is like a stream running down. And it makes me feel so happy, so happy as can be. Every time I think about Jah Jah and what He has done for me, I say something in my heart is like a stream running down. So just get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified, ho. Get sanctified, ho. Why not go down because you get sanctified, ho. Why not come up because you get sanctified, ho. Kick out your foot because you get sanctified, ho. Shake up your one because you get sanctified, ho. Shout it out so you get sanctified, cause real.
Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and He in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that Thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that Thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is He that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Get up!
Yes, yes, yes. A little first day meditation. That was Solomon Jabi for a tune called Prayer and Meditation, Healing of the Nations. Yes, I, Solid Food, provide some protection. But here, let's ride up first day right here. Still in the Haye Sara, Life of Sara vibes. You have today's daily song for this first day of this new Shabuah right here for the first day Sunday service. We have Psalm 80. So healing of the nations, the Baraka of great Abraham and Sarah, King Alpha, Queen Omega.
For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts.
So here we have the Brit Chadash, New Covenant reading coming forward. Also like to get into some of the Q&As here for this Chaye Sara, some of the key words. Hopefully also touch on some of the metaphysics, Metaphysical Bible Dictionary and application, the app, you know, for the spiritual word sound right here. But first day psalm right here in the season, Psalm 80, coming in from the cold right here. Psalm 80, the 80th psalm right here, royal order, first day, first light.
Mizmor, Mizmor Fei, Mizmor Pei, Mizmor Pei, Lanatriach El Shoshani, Aduta Le Asaf Mizmor, Roei Yisrael, Haazina, Nohega Kaskona Yosef, Yosheva Hakruvim, Hofia, Fia, Lifne Ephraim, U Binyamin, Ua Menashe, Menashe, Orara, Eta Gvrateka, Ulka, Liyeshuataha Lano, Elohima Hishvenu, Wehair Paneka, Wenewashe, Yahuwah Elohim Azvot, Adam Taya, Ashanta, Dita Filata, Ameka, Ameka, Hekaltama, Lechema, Dima, Dima, Wata Shekemoa, Dia Dimuota, Shalish, Simenu, Madonna, Lishachenenu, ואויבינו ילעגו עלם אלוהים עצבותה השרנו והעיר פנקה ונוושע כסנה ממצרים תעשייה תגרש גויים ותתאה תמתה לי אפניה ותשרש Shara Shea Ea Ea Wa Wa Wata Male Aret Aret Tinata Tinata Penita 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 Tinita Lefaneha Faneha Wata Sharesha Shara Sheha Water male arets 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 kasu harima ilah wa enafeha harze el tishalacha kets ireha ad yam yam ilan hara yonakoteha lama parat ta gedereha we aruha kola ovre dareka yikar simena chzira miyara Waziza Sadaya Yira Ena Elohima Svoota Shubna
Shubna
Beta Nishamaima Ure
Ure
Fukoda Gefena Zota
Zota
Wekana Hashira Nata Aha Yimineka
Yimineka
We Allah Ben Imatata Lak
Lak
Se rufa baisha kesuha
ha
mia ga erata paneka yobedu
yobedu
tehia yadeka alla isha yemineka alla benadama imatata la
tala
ulo nasoga mimeka
eka
tehayen Nuo uva shimeka nikra nikra
Yahowa
Elohim Tzvaota Hashvelu Hayra paneka
We
niwashena
Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength, and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved.
Mizmor Fei, Psalm 80, Mizmor Fei, Psalm LXXX. Lanatiyah il Shoshani, Eduta le Asafa Mizmor, for the leader, for the chief musician, Lanatiyah, upon Shoshani, to Shoshani, il Shoshani, Eduta le Asafa Mizmor, a testimony, Edut le Asaf Mizmor, of Asaf a Mizmor, a psalm, a chant, an intonation. Lanatiyah il Shoshani, Eduta le Asaf Mizmor. Ro'e Yisrael ha'azina, nohega katzona Yosef, Yoshev ha'keruvim hofi'a. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, Ro'e Yisrael ha'azina, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, noheg katzon Yosef, thou the eyes that are enthroned upon the cherubim, Yoshev ha'keruvim, shine forth hofi'a. Ro'eh Yisrael Hazina, Nohega Katsona Yosef, Yosher Bahakirubim, Hophiah. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy might and come to save us and come to save Ainai. Lifne Ephraim, Uvinyamin, Umanasseh, Orara etagorateka, Ulecha liyashuataha lanu. Before Ephraim, Lifne Ephraim, and Benjamin, Uvinyamin, Ubinyamin, and Manasseh, Umanasseh, stir up thy might, Orara etagorateka, Ora etagorateka, and come, Ulecha, Ulecha, and come to save us. Ulecha liyashuataha lanu. Lifne Ephraim uvinyamin umenashe, ora etagorateka, ulecha liyashuataha lanu. O God, restore us, restore Ainai, and cause thy face to shine, and we and Ainai shall be saved. Elohim hesherenu, vehayir paneka vednevashea. O Elohim, Elohim, restore us, hesherenu. Heshibenu, Elohim Heshibenu, and cause thy face to shine. Vehayer paneka, vehayer paneka, and we and I and I shall be saved. We niwashea, Elohim Heshibenu, vehayer paneka, we niwashea. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Yahweh Elohim Azvot, Ad matai ashanta biya tefilat ameka? Yahweh, he who be who he be Elohim Tzvaot, of hosts of armies, Yahweh Elohim Tzvaot. Ad matai ashanta? How long? Ad matai? How long? Ad matai? Ad matai? How long will thou, the I, be angry? Ashanta. Ad matai ashanta? Against the prayer, be a tefillat of thy people, be tefillat amecha. Yahweh Elohim Azvot, ad mataya ashanta, be a tefillat amecha. Thou hast fed them with the bread of tears, and given them tears to drink in large measure. He echaltam alechema dia me'a, ua watashekemo bia dema'ota shalish. He ekaltam, thou hast fed them. He ekaltam, lechem, bread, dia me'ah, di me'ah. He ekaltam, lechem ma di me'ah, with the bread of tears, lechem ma di me'ah. Watashkemo, and given them to drink, watashkemo, bia dima'ota shalish, and have given them tears to drink in large measure. Literally a third measure, watashkemo biya dema'ota shalish. He echaltam lechema dia me'a, watashkemo wa biya dema'ota shalisha. Te simenu ma'ona lishkenenu ve'oivenu yilgu lamo. Thou makest I and I a strife to our neighbors. Te simenu ma'on lishkenenu, and our enemies ve'oivenu, and our enemies mock as they please. Ve'oivenu yilgu lamo. Elohim atzvaota heshirenu. V'hayir paneka v'nevashe'a. O Elohim of hosts, Elohim atzvaot, restore us, restore Ainai, hishibeinu, and cause thy face to shine. V'hayir paneka, and we and Ainai shall be saved. V'niwashe'a. Elohim atzvaot, hishibeinu. V'hayir paneka v'nevashe'a. Gefena mi mitzrayim atasi'a. Te garesha goyima watia ta'eha. Thou, the I, didst pluck up a vine out of Egypt. Gefen, mi mitzrayim, tasia. Thou didst pluck up a gefen, a vine, mi mitzrayim. Thou, the I, did drive out the nations, the nationalities. Tigaresh goyim, watitaeha, and did plant it, watitaeha, Gefen mimitraim tasia. Tigaresha goim watia taeha. Panita lifaneha. Watashresha sharesheha. Vatamale aret. Thou didst clear a place before it before her. Panita lifaneha. And it took deep, and it took deep root. Watashresha sharesheha. And filled the land. Watamale aret. Watamale aret. Panita lifaneha. Watash reisha sharasheha. Watamale aret. Kasu harima tzila. Wa enafeha arzel el. The mountains were covered with the shadow of it, with the shadow of her. Kasu harim tzila. And the mighty cedars with the boles thereof, and the cedars of El, true good, true God. Wa enafeha arzeel, the cedars of El, with the boles thereof. Wa enafeha arzeel, kasu harima tzila. Wa enafeha arzeel, tishalaha kitzireha adiyam. The Illa Nahara Yona Koteha. She sent out her branches to the sea. Ti Shalach Kitzireha Ad Yam. And her shoots to the river. We Il Nahara Yona Koteha. Lama Paratta Gidareha. The Aruha Kola Ore Dareka. Why hast thou the eye broken down her fences? Lama Paratta Gidareha, so that all they that pass by the way do pluck her. We aruha kola ovre darek. We aruha kola ovre darek. The boar out of the wood doth ravage it, does ravage her. That which moveth in the field feedeth on her. Yikara semena. Chazira miyaar, waziza sadaya yirena. O God of hosts, return, we beseech thee, aye. Look from heaven and behold, and be mindful of this vine. Elohim atzvaot shuvna, habet amishamayim urea, ufukoda gefenna zota. Elohim Tzvaot, O Elohim of hosts, Elohim of armies, Elohim Tzvaot, Shuvna, return, we beseech, we beg thy Shuvna, Haveta Mishamayim, Ore, look from heaven, scrutinize, Havet Mishamayim, from Shamayim, Mishamayim, Haveta Mishamayim, Ore, and see, Ore, see, Ore, Ufukod Gefenzot, and be mindful of this vine. Visit this vine. Ufikod gefen zot. Ufikod gefen zot. Yikana ashera nat'a yimineka. We alavena imatzitalak. And of the stock that thy right hand hath planted. Wikana asher nata'a yamineka, and of the stock that thy right hand yamineka hath planted. Asher nata'a yikana asher nata'a yamineka the albeina imatata lak, and the branch that thou madest strong, and the sun, and upon the sun, the branch, we al bain, and upon the sun, that thou madest strong for thyself, or the branch, literally the sun, we al bain, imatzatah lak, that thy eye made it strong for thyself. Sirufa va'esha kesucha, migahata paneka yovedu, it is burnt with fire. Sirufa Vaish, Baish, Serufa, Baish, it is burnt with fire. Serufa, Baish, Kesucha, it is cut down. Kesucha, Miga erata paneka yovedu, they perish yovedu, at the at the rebuke, mi ga'erat, the ga'erat, mi ga'erata paneka, the rebuke of thy face, of thy countenance. Tehi yadeka al isha yimineka, al ben adama imatata alaka. Let thy hand, tehi yadeka al isha yimineka. Let thy right hand, yimineka, let thy hand be up on the son of thy right hand. Tehi yadika, let thy hand al ish upon the ish, the man, al ish yemineka. Let thy hand be on the man of thy right hand. Al ben Adam imatatalak, upon the son of man, al ben Adam, upon the son of Adam, al ben Adam, imatzata, that the eye has made strong lock for the eye self. Tehi yadeka al ishimineka, al ben Adam imatzata laka, veloa nasola mimeka, techayenu wa uvashimka nikra. So shall we, I and I, not turn back from thee, from the eye. With lo nasoga mimeka, quicken thou us, cause I and I to live. Liven I and I, cause I and I to live. Techayenu, uveshimka, and in thy name, nikra, and we shall call upon thy name. Techayenu, uveshimka, nikra. Yahweh Elohim Sevaota, Heshevenu, Hayer Paneka, Vinevashea. O Jehovah, he who be, we be Yahweh, Elohim of Tzavaot, Elohim of hosts, Elohim of armies, Heshirenu, Heshibenu, restore us, Yahweh Elohim of Tzavaot, Heshirenu. Cause thy face to shine, Hayer Paneka, Hayer to shine, Paneka, thy face, thy perception, Vin Nevashia, and we shall be saved, Yahweh Elohim Tzavaot, Hesherenu, Hayer Paneka, when
מזמור פה למנצח אל שושנים, עדות לאסף מזמור. רועי ישראל האזינה, נוהג כצאן יוסף, יושב הקרובים הופיע. לפני אפרים ובנימין ומנשה, עוררה את גבורתך, ולך לשועת לנו. אלוהים השיבנו, והאר פניך ונבשיה. אדוני אלוהים צבאות, עד מתי עשמת בתפילת עמך? ואכלתם לחם דמעה, ותשכמו בדמעות שליש. תשימנו מדון לשכננו, ואויבינו ילעגו למו. אלוהים צבאות השיבנו, והאר פניך ונבשע. גפן ממצרים תסיע, תגרש גויים ותתעיה, פינית לפניה, ותשרש שרשיה, ותמלא ארץ. כסו הרים צילה, וענפיה ארזאל, תשלח כציריה עד ים, ואל נהר יונקותיה. למה פרצת גדריה, וערוה כל עוברי דרך? יחרסמנה חזיר מיער, וזיז שדי ירענה. אלוהים צבאות שובנה, הבט משמיים וראה, ופקוד גפן זאת, וחנה אשר נטעה ימיניך, ועל בן אימצת לך, שרופה ואש כסוחה, מגערת פניך יובדו, תהי ידך לאיש ימיניך, על בן אדם אימצת לך, ולא נסוג ממכה, דחיינו ובשמך נקרא, אדוני אלוהים צבאות השיבנו, האר פניך ונבשע.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel?
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot. Aliyot, Aliyot, Aliyot.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabarot Shel Habarit HaHadasha. Baruch Ata Adonai Notain Habarit HaHadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha Chadis Kidan Renewed Covenant reading for RSS number 5. Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah, from Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 17, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 through 57. We begin, B'shem Ha'ab, V'Habin, V'Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he who be, who he be, the one. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, Aleph, verse 2, Beit. Sefer Toldot Yeshua HaMashiach, Ben David, Ben Abraham. Abraham holid et Yitzchak, Yitzchak holid et Yaakov, Yaakov holid et Yehuda, Achayu. The book of the generation of Yeshua HaMashiach, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brethren. And Judah begot Phares and Zarah of Tamar. And Phares begot Esrom. And Esrom begot Amram. And Amram begot Aminadab. And Aminadab begot Naason. And Naason begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begot a Roboam, and Roboam begot Abia, and Abia begot Asa, and Asa begot Josaphat, and Josaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah, and Uzziah begot Joatam, and Joatam begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Ezekiah, and Ezekiah begot Manasseh, and Manasseh begot Amon, and Amon begot Josiah. And Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brethren, about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Salathiel, and Salathiel begot Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begot Abiud, and Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor, and Azor begot Sadok, and Sadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliud, and Eliud begot Eleazar, and Eleazar begot Matan, and Matan begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Yeshua, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Mashiach, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon to Christ, to Mashiach, are 14 generations. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, Nun, verse 51, Nun Aleph, verse 52, Nun Beit. Lezot ani omer achai, ki basar wadam lo yukal la reshet et malkut ha Elohim. Asher yikle lo yirash et asher lo yikle. Hine sol agale lakem, anachnu lo kulanu nishan hamawet, abal kulanu nitchalaf. Berega echad keheref, ein kitkoa hashofar, haacharon ki yitkaa bashofar, hametim yechiyu bli kilayun, wa anachnu nitchalaf. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Elohim, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. All believers will not die. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, the final victory over death. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim that giveth us victory through Adonainu Yeshua HaMashiach, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Kabur lakalu, kabur ladimtu, kabur lakhailu, kabur lakadamawi, khaile salase, be Jesus Christos sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, Exiavi, Yemesken, Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos,
Jesus Christos. Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong,
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 Shabbat strong.
Shema Yisrael, here, so here for this sabbatical study at the fifth, the life of Sarah, life of Sarah, Chaye Sarah. So first, kind of an overview, it's going over this again right here, an overview, a synopsis of the fifth sabbatical study right here, this weekly Torah portion, reading and feeding. We pick up with Genesis. So here we're picking up with Genesis, first book of Moshe, known as Bereshit, Genesis chapter 23, verse 1 to chapter 25, verse 18. So in the previous Shabuah, previous to this, the Torah portion was Wayera, wa en yera, and he appeared, and he became visible, Wayera, often enunciated as in modern Hebrew as Vayera, wa yera, wa en yera, he became visible. It recounted how Yahuwah, how Jehovah proved faithful, always sure to Abraham, to Father Abraham, and to Sarah, by miraculously giving them a son, Yitzhak, in their old age. Now, nonetheless, Abraham, he faced his greatest test of all by being asked to offer up his promised child as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Now, this is the Makom, or the place, right, according to the scripts, of the future temple, the Heikal. So we have Shlomo, Solomon's temple, what's known as Solomon's temple. This is the spot, according to scripture, on Mount Moriah, the place of the future temple. Now, on account of Abraham's his willingness to obey, Jehovah promised, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, promised, gave His yea, yea, and His amen, that He would multiply His offspring as the Kokavei Shemaim, as the stars of the heavens, and that in His seed, Zar'o, His seed. And it's important to note, even from the Brit Hayashana, what's called the Old Testament, to the Brit Chadash, the New Testament, how when it says even He in HaTorah, His seed, Zar'o, it's in the singular sense. And that in His seed, Zar'o, all the Goyim, all the nations, nationalities, ethnicities, the Goye Ha'aretz, all the ethnicities, nationalities of the earth, Goye Ha'aretz, would be blessed, would be prospered. Now, this sabbatical study here at the fifth for Chaye Sarah, this weekly Torah portion, reading and feeding, Anai sabbatical mana, we have Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah, the life of Sarah. Now, we're getting into the Hebrew of what this Chaye Sarai, Hebraically has a sense of the lives of Sarah. But here we have Chaye Sarai, the life of Sarah. It begins somewhat paradoxically with the account of her death. That's often noted as we study this area of Torah reading and feeding, although we know, okay, the matriarch passes here. But the language is somewhat paradoxical, beginning with the lives of Sarah, right? Accounting and giving an account of her passing. And it retells how the first great matriarch, we can say, of the Hebrew people, first great matriarch of the Israelitish people, was buried in the cave, and this is one of the key words also for the metaphysical study right here. We have the cave that's known in the Hebrew as Machpelah. And another key word, the place known as Hebron. This is a burial site that Abraham had legally, according to the customs and the tribe traditions of them times, legally purchased from one named Ephron, Hachiti, the Hittite, for 400 shekels, for the weight of 400 shekelim, 400 shekels of kesef, 400 shekels of silver. Now, after Sarah was buried, Abraham's servant, Eliezer of Damascus, whom Abraham had originally, in the previous Torah reading and feeding, he had thought that Eliezer, when Yahuwah spoke to him, he thought that Eliezer Eliza would be his ear. Right, made a solemn promise to Abraham to help find Beno Yitzhak, his son Isaac, a eshet. In the Hebrew, pointed as eshet. We said I'm even emphasize even the pointing of it according to dialects, eshet, aset, aset, eshet, isha, a woman, a wife, from among his relatives living in the place that's sometimes referred to nowadays as Mesopotamia, the Mespot, the Mesopotamia. It's kind of interesting because in the Hebrew, this is known as Aram Naharaim, Aram, Aram of the rivers, Naharaim, a.k.a. Mesopotamia. And not from among the Canaanites, not from among the Canaanu, the Canaanites, amongst whom they were dwelling. Eliezer then set out on an approximate 550-mile journey to the place known as Haran or Haran. And this city, Haran, is also called the city of Nahor, Nahor, a relation of Abram, and the place where Abraham's father had died, where Terah had died. Taking with him 10 camels laden, loaded with gifts in search of a bride. So here he's searching for a kala, the kala, a bride for his master's son. Now, at a village well, near the city of Nahor, Eliezer, he made the camels, Gemalim, the camels kneel down. And there he went into a prayer and meditation where he asked Yahweh Eloheinu for a sign. When the maidens would come to the well, he would ask for some water to drink. But the woman, the Eshet, the Isha, who offered to also draw water for his camels, as well would be the one. So amongst the sign, the ancient custom, tradition, the maidens would come forward to draw water, and therefore he communed with Yahuwah, and he said that, well, let this be the sign, that he would ask for some water to drink personally. But that the Isha, the woman who offered to draw water for his camels as well, that this should be the one chosen by Yahweh, by Jehovah for Abraham's son. It's also interesting in the narrative, it kind of points out that Eliezer, his servant, how he prayed to Yahweh as, the God of my master, Abraham. Now, before Eliezer had finished praying, Rebecca, Abraham's nephew's daughter. So the narrative brings out that this is Abraham's nephew's daughter. She appeared with a water jar on her shoulder. Eliezer, he ran to her. And he asked her for a drink. And after she had given him some water, she generously offered to draw water for all 10 of his camels as well. After she, quote, passed the test, end quote, so to speak, Eliezer, he gave her expensive rings and bracelets. And he began to inquire of her family relations and her family status. When he realized that Yahweh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be the name, had led him directly to Abraham's close kinsman. Rivka was the granddaughter of Abraham's brother, Nahor. He was overjoyed, and he thanked, hallelujah, Yahweh, he thanked Jehovah for the guidance, you know, for the guidance and the success of the mission. Now, meanwhile, while this is going on, while he's now in praise and just so thankful, you know, for how everything had fulfilled based on that prayer to the God of his master, Abraham. Meanwhile, Rebecca, she runs back. She runs back home to tell her family, Mishpacha, to tell the Mishpacha, you know, to tell the family what had happened at the village well. And her brother, now take note of this brother right here. Now, these are all key, you know, study of the names, metaphysically speaking. Rivka, what does Rivka, Rebecca mean? But here, introducing her brother Laban, Laban. Sometimes referred to as Laban or Laban. Laban went out to invite Eliezer. So as, you know, Laban, he heard what was going on, so he went out to invite, you know, this stranger comes to town, Eliezer, to come under their hospitality, come under their roof. You know, so even the theme of hospitality, you know, at least according to, we say, the holy Ethiopian, it still exists, you know, where you can find it today. You know, hospitality is a very, very important feature, you know, Afro-Shemitically of, we say, Ethiopia, the East, and of Africa and Asia. It's just a important theme that is emphasized right here that seems to be lacking, you know, nowadays. But be that as it may, Eliezer, after Laban came to invite him, he agreed, but he refused to eat. So he said, yeah, I'll come under your roof, but he refused to eat with them until, so he puts this condition here, until he had clearly, Eliezer, servant of Abraham, even something about service or like, you know, when they said people taking pride in their job or their work or what it is that they're doing, right? He agreed but refused to eat. Why? Until he had clearly communicated the purpose. What was the purpose of his mission? And thereby fulfilling his promise to Abraham. There seems to be a very strong for him to fulfill his promise. You know what I mean? So he took his word. He wanted to fulfill that particular word he had given his master, Abraham. So what did Eliezer do? He then retold, right? He retold the entire narrative, the entire story of his journey from the land of Canaan, the Canaanu, from land of Canaan, including the prayer, the tefillah made to Yahweh, to Jehovah, for a sign of the Eshet, the Orset, the Isha, for Abraham's son, and how Rebecca had passed this divine, if we would say, this divine sort of a test. He then asked Rebecca's mishpacha, her mishpacha, her family, whether they would show kindness, to their relative, Abraham, by agreeing to give Rebecca, as Yitzhak's Isha, Eshet, his Orset, his wife, so that Eliezer would know, he needed to know, right, whether to, quote, turn to the right hand or to the left. These are some interesting areas to even reason on right here, but the next part of this right here, you know what I mean? Even though he had gotten, you know, positive affirmation of his prayer to say God, he needed to know amongst the men and people whether they were at agreement. It's like they say, make peace or be at peace with God and man. Now, both Betuel and Laban, right, both agreed that Elohim had indeed chosen Rebecca to be Abraham's son's wife. And they did not object. They posed no objection to the match. Now, upon hearing this, Eliezer, He gave Rivka, he gave Rebecca now more gifts. He gave Rebecca more gifts and also gave gifts to the rest of the family. Remember, he had like 10 or so camels laden with gifts, right? So he's parceling them out right here. Now, they then, at this particular point, they then ate like a communal, you could say like a meal together, to sup together. And Elijah, he spent that Lila, that night. Now, the following morning, what happens the following morning? The next morning, next dawning, Eliezer, he sought to immediately, Eliezer sought to immediately get out there and leave for Canaan with Rebecca, with Rivka. But her parents, all right? Her parents wanted her to stay another 10 days. Now we have this whole 10 days. Just take note. Here we have an interesting use of something found, a Hebraicism found elsewhere in the scriptures concerning 10 days. So Eliezer, he wanted to hit the road, right, to return to Canaan with Rivka. But her parents wanted her to stay, right, just for another 10 days. So to resolve this kind of disagreement, you know, this disagreement right here, the parents then, they did something very interesting. What did the parents do? They then asked her, they asked Rivka, what did she want to do? They made it her decision. And Rebecca said that she was ready to go too. She was ready to leave for Canaan without delay. Eliezer, at this particular point, he then led Rebecca and her maidservants, you know, we can say like her sister and her maidservants, back to the land of Canaan, where she met and married Yitzhak, Isaac. Isaac, the scripture teaches us here, Torah, it says that Isaac, he loved her. He loved her. And here's a very interesting key in the scripture, that he was comforted. He was comforted over the loss of Imo, his mother, Sarah. Yitzhak, he loved her. He loved Rebecca. And he was comforted over the loss of Imo, his mother, Sarah. Now, we are then told that after the death of Sarah, Abraham seems to have remarried. Abraham remarried a woman that's named Keturah, another key name here in scripture, Keturah. Now, some claim, there are some who reason this in some areas of, you know, Torah studies and others, that claim that this is actually Hagar, some say. But there's really no indication this is Hagar. But that is, you know, that's one of the ideas there, that actually Keturah, which has an interesting relation to like the Aishans and Qatar. Qatar, like over there in the Middle East, Qatar, where the Aishans comes from, you know, Aishans, Keturah, you know, to, how can we say, to, it has a sense of Aishans and burning Aishans, the fumigate, as it said, right? She bore Abraham. Scripture's clear that, you know, he got a wife, Keturah, and she had bore him six more sons. Now, Abraham, he gave gifts to these children as a legacy. Right, but he left everything else he owned to Yitzhak. So it is said, and there's some interesting emphasis on details at this point in the narrative, that Abraham, he gave gifts to these children as somewhat of a legacy, but that he left everything else, scripture's kind of specific on that, that he owned to Yitzhak, the appointed heir. Now, so the portion right here, it ends with Abraham's death. Scripture records the age of 175 and how his two sons, Yitzhak and Ishmael, how they buried him too in that place known as the cave of Machpelah, beside Ishto or Seto, his Isha, Sarah. Then, as a postscript, as somewhat of a postscript here in this fifth sabbatical study for the Shabbat Strong, as a postscript, we are also told of the descendants. We're given somewhat of a detail of the descendants of Yishmael, as well as Yishmael's death at the age of 137. So right here, just getting a little overview right here. There's some Q&As that we would like to touch on for this sabbatical study coming forward. Stay tuned right here,
Sabbatical study, this Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong.
Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength, and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a stripe unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen, and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved, 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 we shall be saved.
Yes, 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 yes. So here for the Q&As, some Q&As, right? Also, probably have to go over some of the Q&As from the previous. But here for the Chayei Sarah, we have about how many questions do we have right here? A couple of basic questions bringing out this fifth sabbatical study, the life of Sarah. Here we have 46 Q&As. Let's take the first one here. What does, in the Hebrew, the biblical Masoretic Hebrew, what does Chayei Sarah mean, Chavarim? Here picking up with Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 23 at verse 1. Often it's translated as the life of Sarah. But literally in the Hebrew, Chayei, is lives, the lives of Sarah. This is the Chayei in the Hebrew, is the plural, is what we call, or what's called like the plural construct, like the constructive. To give a kind of example, it's like Chayei is saying the lives of. So it's like part of a, kind of a two-part. So something has to fill it on the other end. Chayei, the lives of. So the word chaye is known as like in the constructive state. That means it's built with something following to bring out the context. Yet it's the constructive of the singular, right? Chai, chai. So we have chai, life, living, chai. So here we have chaye, the lives of Sarah. Chaye Sarah. Now, this is somewhat analogous to the idea in the Hebrew of panim. Panim. Panim is like face or literally like faces. It's a plural sense. Like we have piniel, pinuel, right? Panim, face and faces, which likewise is plural to indicate the multifaceted sense of existence or what we will call simply life, that even in the Hebrew sense, it's in a plural sense. Like even for the tree, the eighth, ha-chayim. Chayim is also plural. So we have the lives of Sarah. So Hebraically speaking, it's the lives of Sarah. Bring out that multifaceted aspect that even in one life, there are like many lives, the chaye Sarah. Question number two. How old was Sarah when she died? According to Genesis chapter 23 at verse 1, scripts here record that she was 127 years old when she died. Literally brings out the sense, the word order of 100 years in the Hebrew and 20 years and 7 years, according to Genesis 23 and 1. At the age, it is said, so based on this kind of unique kind of order, it's not like straightforward as we would kind of expect it, right? And based on this, some of the sages bring out the sense that, well, the age of 100, Sarah, the matriarch, was like 20 in beauty. And at 20, she was like 7 in piety or faithfulness. Now, in Hebrew, in the biblical Hebrew, large numbers, what's interesting, in biblical Hebrew, large numbers are described in the singular. So when it brings out years, it says shana, shana, to say like a year, instead of shanim, right? Shana. Whereas smaller numbers in Hebrew are described in the plural. For example, for the smaller number would be shanim, shanim. So the larger numbers described in the singular, shana, and smaller numbers described in the plural, shanim. Now, this is said to suggest that what is small in this world will be regarded as great in the olam haba. What is small in this world, this present world, olam hazeh, right, in the olam haba, in the world to come, the age to come, will be regarded as great. And what is great, what is big and great in this world, will be regarded as small. So what is considered great in this world will be regarded as small there. Now, some bring out right here, which is an interesting point of reference. Let's see if we have this right here. I'm going to get the scripts right here. Here, this brings out the sense of what Mark 9 in the New Covenant, the Brit Chadasha, Mark chapter 9. Let's get the scripts right here, 9:35. Let's just go here for a moment, Mark chapter 9. At verse 35 and see what it reads right here, here, here. The 9, verse 35. And he sat down, speaking of Adonai Yeshua, he sat down and called the 12 and called the 12 and said to them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Some say that in the New Covenant sense, this is this Torah principle brought out in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Question number three. Where did Sarah die? Where did she pass away? According to Genesis chapter 23, verse 2, Sarah is said to have died in a place known as Hebron, Hebron, or Hebron, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Initially, This place known as Hebron, this is also of interest in the metaphysical studies, the place known as Hebron, was initially called the Kiryat Arba. The Kiryat Arba, right? What is the Kiryat Arba? Kiryat Arba in the Hebrew means city, Kiryat Arba, of four, the city of four. So originally it's said to be known as the city of four, then it became known as the place known as Hebron. So this is a very important area for like further studies, such as the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, you know, to see some of the applied, you could say, the spiritual science of the word in I and I, liberty and life. Yes? Yes, because even the names of the place add another layer, you know, Hebraically speaking, you know, and we come across the word Hebron and it's like, okay, Hebron, Hebron, whatever, you know what I mean? But within the Hebrew sense, the understanding of that key right there, you know, the narrative, the word, you know, becomes manifest even more. Question number four. According to Judaic tradition and certain Judaic traditions, why did Sarah die? Right? According to Judaic tradition, why did Sarah die? Right? Now, it is said that Sarah, and reading, this is based on like studying the Torah and one's asking that question, looking into Torah and seeing whether Torah reveals anything, right, concerning why she died, that it is said that she died immediately after what's known as the Akedah. Now, most would say, oh, that was a sacrifice of Isaac. No, Hebraically it was the Akedah. What is Akedah? Akedah is like the binding. You know, a binding, you know, it was like contractually in a legal sense, but it was a binding of Yitzhak, right? What may have been that, but was not that, the Akedah. So immediately after this binding, you know, that substitutional sacrifice right there, that it is said that she died immediately. So in reading the Torah, right after that narrative there, from the previous sabbatical study, we come forth with the fifth, and boom, it's like right after that. So this connection there comes out even more. There's a study known as a Midrash. Some of the ancient studies, like Midrash is like one of the words for school as well, the Beit Midrash, the house of study. So there's a teaching that says that HaSatan, that Satan, HaSatan had disguised himself as an old man and told Sarah that Abraham had killed her son, Ben-Nah, right, which caused her profound grief and horror. Shortly after this, it is said in some reasonments that HaSatan appeared to her in another guise or disguise and told her that he had just seen Yitzhak, who was alive and well. Now, it said that Sarah was so elated over this news that she had went to a state of shock and was said to have died soon afterward. Now, some of the sages in reasoning on these things, they say that this was a sort of a, quote, payback. What? They say it's because of Sarah's earlier sin, some say, right, of laughing when she heard that she would have a son, and then denying that she had done so. Now, there's another Midrash, another study of this here that explains that Sarah had died early because she demanded Abraham cast away Hagar and insisted that, well, Elohim, as she said to Abraham, she said, Elohim judge between you and me, between I and I in the matter. According to Genesis, you can refer to Genesis chapter 16, verse 5. Still, other reasonments and another teaching, Midrash, states that Sarah was angry that Abraham did not tell her about Yahweh's command, and that this led to her, may have led to her untimely death. What's interesting is that we have to ask the question, did she know? What did she know? When did she know? And how interesting that according to the narrative, right after that, right, we find that the life of Sarah announcing her death. Now, Yes, yes. In any event, it is noteworthy that the only death connected with the Akedah, by either way one's reason on it, and I've heard some interesting reasoning, and even from Christians nowadays that might reason on it, some interesting perspectives that they draw out of it. But in any event, it's noteworthy that the only death that's connected with the Akedah, the whole binding of Yitzhak, was Sarah's. Question five right here. Why is it important to use what's known as the good eye, right? Why is it important to use the good eye? You know, the ayin tov, the good eye, when considering others. So here, the fifth question here for the fifth sabbatical study, Chayei Sara, is why is it important to use the good eye, the good perspective, the good way of seeing, the good eye, when considering others? Why is it important? Well, it is said that if a person prays for another and needs the same thing, he is answered first. Likewise, if someone blesses, seeks to give a word, prosperity increased to another, he himself will be prospered and increased. Now, the opposite is also true. If a person seeks, for example, divine justice and retribution against another, then he will be judged and punished before the one whom he or she, or whom he has accused. Quote, if one has the audacity to ask Yahweh to judge another, the record of his deeds is carefully examined, and all his sins, his forfeitures, his lacking are recalled. His accounts are recalled, are called on. Question number six, why do Yehudim, right, Judahites, ethnic and even religious otherwise, generally consider it important, right? Why Hebraically and even Judaically is considered important to mourn the dead? Why is it considered important to mourn the dead? Person sheds a tear for the death of another. It is said that Elohim, Yahweh Eloheinu, he stores it in his bottle. You might have come across that in some areas of the scripts in the psalm, that Elohim stores this tear, or these tears, in his bottle, and the person is rewarded for it. If someone neglects to attend the funeral of a Yehudi or of an Israelite, a fellow, right, one's own life, it is said, may be shortened in repayment. This is especially the case regarding a virtuous soul. This is particularly applicable to a soul, right, of one who was virtuous, strong in faith and in good. Since that person brought good, they brought tov into the world. And now that bringer of good is gone. Even if she had not been his wife, his eshet, ishto, right, Abraham would have mourned the loss of Sarah, since she was a prophetess. In the Torah scroll, when we look at the Torah scroll, the word that we have in translation, the phrase, quote, and to weep for her, right, brings up that sense, and he went to weep for her, and to weep for her. This is written in some of the Torah scrolls with a small Hebrew letter kaf, right, suggesting that Abraham was humble at heart and regarded himself as partly responsible for the death of Sarah. Question number seven. where was Sarah buried? According to Genesis chapter 23, verses 3 to 20, the section, Genesis chapter 23, the section verses 3 to verse 20. Well, she was buried in the cave of Machpelah, or what is known in the Hebrew as the Me'arat HaMachpelah. Me'arat, the cave of HaMachpelah, the cave of the Machpelah, east of Hebron, in the land of Canaan. It was called Machpelah. One of the reasons, bringing out a little more of the sense of this Hebrew, this Hebraic name, right, and the significance of it. In Hebrew, it's known as Machpelah because it had two levels. It's said to have had two levels. In Hebrew, like a kafal, Machpelah, kafal, kafal means like level, right? In other words, it was said to be a cave, but because of those two levels, it was like a cave within a cave. And it's significant because this particular burial site, right, comes forward even with the other of the Hebrew, the Trinity of the Hebrew patriarchs and matriarchs. Question number 8. Who are the B'nai Chet? The B'nai Chet, the sons of Chet or Heth. B'nai Chet. Who are the B'nai Chet, the sons of Heth, the Hittites? The Hittites, the sons of Heth, the B'nai Chet. They were descendants of the Canaan, of Canaan, the Canaan that lived in the region that is referred to often as the Fertile Crescent during roughly the second millennia BC. The land it occupied, right, the land that occupied by the Hittites was said to be promised by Yahweh Eloheinu to Abraham, according to Genesis, Bereshit, Genesis chapter 15, verse 8. Later on, Moshe Rabbeinu, he instructed Israel, and Yehoshua and Joshua, Iyasu, to utterly annihilate the B'nai Chet, the Hittites, from the promised land. According to Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 17, and Joshua chapter 24, verse 11. A couple more questions right here, Q&As right here. Question number 9. What did Abraham mean when he said he was a, quote, sojourner and a stranger? In Genesis chapter 23, round about verse 4, let's just go here in the KJV. How does KJV read this right here? Verse 4, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Right? It says, I am a stranger and a sojourner. Right? Here they have it as sojourner and stranger. Right? But what did Abraham mean by this? Now, this is said to be somewhat paradoxical phrase. Since the word gear, in Hebrew, the word ger, right? Ger is a stranger. A stranger in the sense of being like a foreigner, a ger, right? A foreigner, like in a place or in another context, being a ger, a foreigner in this world. The sense is almost like we would say one who is just passing through, right? Whereas a toshav, is like a settler, like a resident is a toshav, from like yashab, like shab, like to be seated, right? So a toshav is like a settler, like one seated up, like a resident in the land. Yah people are strangers, right? Gerim in this world. They are, Yah people are literally estranged. And they live like in the world, that whole sense of the in the world, not of the world, right? They live as resident aliens here, yet not here, like here, but not here, right? Thus, Abraham said to the sons of Chet, I am a stranger and a sojourner. Or in the Hebrew, he said, Ger, v'toshav. Ger v'toshav. Ger, stranger v'toshav. And a sojourner. I'm a stranger. I'm a foreigner. I'm just passing through. And I'm like a settler, a resident alien among you. Sell me a burial site, is what he said to them. He says, sell me a burial site in Genesis chapter 23, verse 4. And also, David HaMelech, David the king. Likewise, Negus David, he likewise confessed something very, very similar to this, even in First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. What did David HaMelech confess? For we are strangers, gerim, with you, and transients, you know, transients, sojourners, like our fathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 15. Now, it is significant that the first, quote, deeded land. So we look at the scripture and look at some of the real estate, right, implications. It's significant that the first, quote, deeded land, right, that was given to the Hebrew, you could say, to the Hebrew people, to the Israelite people, right, was a burial site. Isn't that interesting? Just from a certain perspective, the first deeded land. Now, yes, scripture said Yahweh Eloheinu, He promises to Abraham, and we yea and amen that. But according to the very narrative itself, the first deeded land that was given to Jah people within that land, to the Israelite people, was a burial site. Question number 10. What is the, we say, Judaic, right, and to some extent the Hebraic and Israelite view of funeral services? Right? What is the, you could say, the Torah view and therefore the Judaic view also of funeral services? Well, it is considered a positive command. In other words, within the commands, as we go through in these Torah reading and feedings, in some areas there are the positive commands and negative commands, but funerals is considered to be a positive command. And a positive command can be interpreted as a ta'aseh, like to do, while a negative commandment is like lo ta'aseh, do not do. So therefore, a positive command in this sense is an obligation. It's an obligation to attend a funeral or to escort the dead on its way to the cemetery. Quote, whoever sees the bier, the bier, B-I-E-R, like the palanquin where they carry the one who has passed on, must accompany it a few steps. There's an ancient kind of a parable, a word that said, whoever sees like a bier, like a funeral procession, they're carrying the body, like on a palanquin or something like that, that one should accompany it a few steps. Burial of the body should be done quickly, Hebraically, Judaically. You know, burial of the body, once it's confirmed that one is dead, should be done quickly, and the person should not be buried among the wicked, among the ratchet, or those who deny HaTorah. All right? So this is also a key consideration of why Abraham, for himself, right, his family, and his descendants, sought to have this, you could say, livicated or dedicated, so to speak, burial plot. Question number 11. So this now brings us to, who was Ephron? Ephron, son of Zohar, according to Genesis chapter 23, verses 8 to 11. So we have even some more names here, and there's like a Kabbalistic kind of a treatise among, you know, Hebraic, Judaic ones, and ones called the Zohar. But here we have the very same name right here, Ephron, son of Zohar. Who was he? Ephron was a high-ranking member of the B'nai Chet, of the Hittite people in the land. It is said that he, quote, sat in the midst of the children of Chet. He sat in the midst of the sons of Chet, or the children of Ham, who sold Abram the cave, the Me'arat HaMakpelah, the cave of Makpelah, and also note this here too, and its surrounding field. So it was a cave, this double cave, and the surrounding field for the price of 400 shekels of silver. Now in Genesis 23, verse 16, the name Ephron, when we look at some of the Hebrew like manuscripts, right, it seems to be spelled somewhat, some would say, the scholars would say defectively, Ephron, Ephron, which has the same gematria or noctarium or mathematical counting as Ein Ra, Ein I Ra, or evil eye. A little footnote right there, there, there. Question number 12, who else was later buried in the Me'arat HaMakpelah, in the cave of Makpelah? Who else, according to the Torah? Well, this is what is often referred to in traditions as the Tomb of the Patriarchs. Tomb of the Patriarchs? Have you heard about the Tomb of the Patriarchs? Or, according to HaTorah, the Me'arat HaMakpelah, the cave of Makpelah. This is regarded as the second most sacred site, some say, and we could say the Hebraic or even the Abrahamic world, after the Temple Mount. Did you know that the Tomb of the Patriarchs is what we're reading about right here, that is referred to in the Torah as the Cave of Machpelah, and it's regarded as the second most sacred site in the world, or in, we could say, the Abrahamic, right, world, after the Temple Mount. The following, right, zugot, what's a zugot? In the Hebrew, zugot is a way of referring to couples, a zugot, right, zugot, right, couples, or couples that were buried there. It is said that Adam and Chawa, Adam and Eve, yes, it says that Abraham and Sarah, it is said that Yitzhak and Rebecca, and it said that Yaakov, Jacob, and Leah. Rachel, she had died nearby to Bethlehem. Question number 13. How old were both Abraham and Isaac when Sarah died, according to Genesis 24, verse 1. Sarah died at the age of 127, according to Torah, and Abraham was 10 years older than Sarah. Therefore, Abraham was 137 years old. Yitzhak, Isaac, would have been 37 years old when Imo, his mother, Sarah, died. Since she was 90, when she had bore him, when she had bore Yitzhak. Question 14, who was the chief servant that helped Abraham find a Isha, a wife, for Yitzhak, for Isaac, according to Genesis 24:2-4? Well, in Judaic tradition, then identifies him as Eliezer of Damascus. And the reference usually is to the Torah, Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. Question 15, why did Eliezer, quote, place his hand under Abraham's thigh, end quote? This is from Genesis 24:2-9. Heard a lot of weird, you know, a lot of weirdo people have a lot of weird interpretation of this. But according to the Torah here, why did Eliezer place his hand under Abraham's thigh? Right? As we mentioned, there is speculation, much speculation, diverse speculation about what this means. One view is that this was a customary, since we see a lot of custom and tradition being alluded to, You know, in the narratives even thus far, this was a customary gesture to indicate solemnity in times of making a vow. Another view is that the servant held Abraham's circumcision. There's even a view that brings that out as the object of his oath. And this is not written here, but from our study, there's also another view, is that there is the, what says, gird your sword upon your thigh, right? So symbolically, somebody having their hand under that thigh, which has a sword on it, symbolically is like if you do not fulfill that work or seek to do that work, it's like you lose your hand. It's like almost like a theft on that level. But moving forward, question 16, why didn't Abraham want Yitzhak to marry a Canaanite woman, according to Genesis chapter 24, verse 3? What's up with these Canaanites, right? Now, the descendants of Canaan, right, from a Torah perspective and referring to Genesis 9:25, were said to be cursed by the patriarch Noah, and the various Canaanitish nations, quote unquote, including the Hittites, were descended from him. Now we have 1 Chronicles 1:13. Now it's interesting to note some of the areas in the world today that were territories of the Canaanites. You know, just a kind of a connection. For example, Turkey or Asia Minor, you know, what's known as Turkey today. That was like prime Hittite real estate, and they also are recorded, you know, in the wall paintings and monuments of even the ancient Egyptians, right? In addition, Abraham is said to did not want others to think that his descendants inherited the land. So one reasoning of why it might be that he made this prohibition is because he did not want others to think that his descendants inherited the land of Canaan through intermarriage with the Canaanites. Just a reasoning. Here, here, here. Question number 17. Why didn't Abraham seek for Isaac, right, or want Isaac to leave the promised land? You know that right there? You could have said, well, take my son or, you know, send my son out, but it's like he didn't want Isaac, Yitzhak, to leave the promised land in Genesis chapter 24:6. From the time he was bound, going back to the Akedah at the end of the previous, the fourth sabbatical study, the Akedah, that binding, that whole incident. From the time that he was bound to the Mizbeach, to the altar, Yitzhak became a sort of an offering to Yahweh Eloheinu. And therefore, he was never leave the Holy Land, Yitzhak, right? You could say the first of the Hebrews, right? If we count that Avram is Ha-Ebri, he is the Hebrew. He's the first of the Hebrews, even the Hebrew patriarchs, circumcised on the eighth day, right? Was born, right? Was bound and offered up to be sacrificed and died right in the promised land. So it's an interesting note, right, to the fact that there's an emphasis that's often maybe overlooked where his father did not want him to even leave the land, and the connection of him being the first, right, of, you say, his kind to be circumcised on the eighth day that he was born, this binding and, you know, attempted, you say, sacrifice, and then also passing away, all in the land of promise. Question 18, where did he go to find a wife, or Isha, Eshet, or Orset for Yitzhak, according to Genesis chapter 24, verse 10? He went back, you know, he went back to the old country. You can say he went back to the old country. To Abraham's, to Abraham's, to his like homeland, right? His old hood, so to speak. The place, the makom, the spot where Terah, where Abraham's father died. And this is called in the Hebrew, the place is known as the Aram Naharaim, or the Aram of the two rivers, mainly the two rivers here pointing to the Tigris and the Euphrates, or the Tigris and Euphrates. Otherwise, it's called the city of Nahor. Nahor. Nahor was the name of Abraham's brother living in Mesopotamia, or living in the Aram Naharaim. The journey from Hebron to Aram is estimated as being roughly about 550 miles. Let's take one more right here, and let's take a little Selah for a moment. Question number 19, Chaburim. How do we know that Eliezer traveled with other servants to Aram, or some would say Mesopotamia, but the Hebrew, to the Aram? Well, first, he was driving. We know that Eliezer, he traveled with other servants, right? He was like that servant of servants, but then there were other servants. We know this because he was driving a caravan of 10 camels in Genesis 24 and 10. Secondarily, he asked Rebecca if her father could accommodate them, for the night in Genesis chapter 24, verse 23. And thirdly, when Laban showed him the barn, for the camels, he also provided water for the men who were with the servant to wash their feet, according to Genesis chapter 24, verse 32. Finally, after the match was made, you know, so in a sense, we have Eliezer almost like a matchmaker right here. After this match was made, it was written that, quote, he and the men who were with him ate and drank in Genesis chapter 25, verse 54. So this is how we know right here that Eliezer, you know, traveled with other servants on that journey, that tribe to find a bride, a kala, for the patriarch Abraham's son, Yitzhak, Isaac. Here, little Selah tune right here. Nazio Fontaine.
Yeah.
Yes. So here. Yes, I. So here, picking up here with question number 20 right here. What sign did Eliezer ask of Yahweh so that he could know that his choice of a kala, a bride for Yitzhak, would be the right choice? Eliezer, when he prayed to the Elohim of his master Abraham, to Yahweh, he asked that when he had asked for water, that whoever this maiden would be, that she would offer to bring him water for his 10 camels too. In other words, if the prospective woman showed Hebraically what's known as chesed is brought out as like loving kindness to a complete stranger, then he would take that as a sign that she was Yah's chosen bride. Now, note that this test, so to speak, it concerned more of the inward character of the Isha, of the woman, not her status or her beauty or other, we could say, worldly or, you know, temporal factors. Rivka, she passed this test and later was willing to leave her mishpacha, her family, all that she knew, based on an otherworldly kind of a promise. She didn't know where she was going to, but she was willing to go. So question number 21, what does it mean when we read here in Genesis chapter 24, verse 16, question 21 right here, what does it mean that, quote, no man knew, end quote, no man knew Rivka, no man knew Rebecca? Beyond the statement that she was a virgin, Scripts brings out this sense, Rivka was unknown, said to be unknown and unrecognized among her neighbors. So beyond the statement that she was a virgin, You know, it's brought out that she was not even really known, like she wasn't like known around the streets, so to speak. Question number 22. How much water did Rebecca serve the Gemalim, the camels, in Genesis chapter 24, verse 20? Now, if a camel, right, Gimel, right, would drink about 14 gallons of water, and there were 10 camels, then she would have drawn up approximately, right, reading the narrative and doing this math, she would have drawn up 140 gallons of water from the well. Now, this is a significant amount of labor done out of chesed, kindness, loving kindness for this stranger. Question number 23. When did Eliezer give Rivka the ring and bracelets in Genesis chapter 24, verses 22 to 23? When did Eliezer give Rivka the bracelets, the ring and the bracelets? Well, it appears here that he gave them to her before he asked for her identity. Though later in Genesis 24:47, the servant said that he gave them to her after he asked for her identity. Now, Rivka herself says the same thing in Genesis chapter 24, verse 28. Question number 24. How old was Rebecca at this time? About how old was she? Well, some say there are some challenges or even problems understanding her age, but only if we accept the traditional view, right? The traditional view that, quote, one, she was born on the same day as Yitzhak was sacrificed at Moriah. So when we go to the previous, we have kind of introduction of what's going on with Abraham's family over there. And then we get, you know, Rebecca mentioned. So if we accept that particular perspective, the traditional view that she was born on the same day that Yitzhak was akedah, was bound, right, at Moriah, and two, secondarily, that Yitzhak was 37 years old, right, at the time, in which case she would be 3 years old, huh? Since Isaac was 40 years old when they met, right, in Genesis 25:20. So if we reject this, obviously, right, and we certainly should, obviously, then Rebecca's age is simply undefined, though she is described using the Hebrew word to refer to a young woman or a girl. In other words, we have ha na'ar, like a youth, na'ara, like a young woman, ha na'ara. And she, moreover, right, had a childhood nurse. We find in the narrative she had a childhood nurse that accompanied her, according to Genesis chapter 24, verse 59. Question 25. So who was Betuel? Who was Betuel? Betuel's point as Betuel, or some might say Bethuel, but Betuel. Who was Betuel? He was Abraham's nephew, the son of his brother Nahor. Betuel was also the father of Rebecca. And Laban, though we do not know the name of his wife, right? Laban, right? The mother of Rebecca. Let's see, did I read that correctly right there? The mother, the name of his wife, right? The mother of Rebecca. Okay, because her brother, yeah, that's her brother right there. So Yeah, so the wife is not even mentioned directly in the narrative. Question 26. Who was Laban? Bring out Laban. Who was Laban? Now, Laban was Abraham's grandnephew. They still use those expressions, grandnephew. And therefore, the paternal cousin of Yitzhak, the paternal cousin of Isaac. Now, many of the sages note that Laban's name, his name Laban or Lavan, Lavan, Laban, means white, which suggests that his wickedness was obvious to everyone. So Hebraically, Judaically, it's often noted, right, in the Beit Midrash and Judaic studies of this, the sages note that Laban's name means white. And therefore, because his name Laban means white, this suggests that his ratchetness, his wickedness, was obvious to everyone. The first thing written about Laban here in this Torah reading and feeding for Chayei Sarah was that he, quote, saw. Notice the first thing that he did what? He saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms. So if you have to go over that again, especially in the Hebrew, brings out that he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arm. And then he ran to meet Eliezer. Now, in the Judaic tradition, it states that he was running so that, you know, and among some of the Yehudi, you know, reason on this, you know, building on Laban means white, his wickedness was obvious, boom, he saw the ring and the bracelet on sister's arm, so now he's running down Eliezer, and some say he was running him down so that he could murder him and steal his possessions. Now, because of his later, and his was interesting, that later on, in the Torah, in Genesis, Bereishis, later on, he becomes like a persecutor, right, of Yaakov, of Jacob. Laban is regarded, therefore, based on these, you know, these key citations, he's regarded as Yisrael, Israel's first enemy. So Israel's first enemy was Laban, white. He was a practitioner, was said to be furthermore a practitioner of the cult, whose grandson was none other than the wicked sorcerer, prophet, pastor for hire, Balaam, who recommended, it is said, that Paro, the great house, enslave, right, or put into bondage, right, the Bnei Yaakov, the sons of Jacob. Question number 27. So Laban is an interesting, also check out the metaphysics on Laban. Question 27. What was the biological relationship between Rebecca and Yitzhak? Rebecca was daughter of Isaac's cousin, Betuel, making her a cousin, quote, once removed, end quote, on her father's side. So Rebecca was the daughter of Yitzhak's cousin, Betuel, making her a cousin once removed on their father's side. Question 28. After Eliezer recounted his mission, he went over his mission on behalf of Abraham and the sign he receives from Yahuwah regarding Rebecca, what did Laban and Betuel say, according to Genesis 25, verses 50 to 51? Well, they agreed that it was a divine sign or a divine omen, right? And that Rebecca should be married. They agreed that she should be married to Yitzhak. Question 29. What did Rebecca have to say about the proposed match? Did she have a say in Genesis 24 and 58? When she was asked, right, when she was asked if she would go with Eliezer, she agreed of her own accord, you could say of her own free will. Question 30. So what is unusual What is unusual about the baraka, the blessing, the word sound for prosperity and increase? What is unusual about the baraka that was given to Rivka by her mishpacha, her family, in Genesis 24 and 60? Well, her baraka, the blessing, right? The blessing we have here, it says, quote, "May you become myriad, nuff nuff ones, and your offspring inherit the gates of his enemies." So what's unusual about the baraka that was given to Rebecca by her family was that the wording, "May you become myriads, multiple, nuff nuff ones," like a yeshima bet, right? "And your offspring inherit the gate of his enemies." This is nearly identical. It's almost identical to Ha Baraka, the Baraka that Ha Elohim, the Ha Elohim, gave to Abraham immediately following, immediately after the offering of Beno Yitzhak, his son Isaac, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. Question 31, who accompanied Rebekah on her journey to the promised land, right? According to Genesis chapter 24, verse 61, it is said that Rebecca's nurse in Genesis 24, 59, as well as some unnamed other young woman known as her maidens, right, or maid servants, they rode on the camels and followed Eliezer's lead camel on the way to meet Yitzhak, the way to meet Isaac. Question 32, why did Yitzhak, Isaac, return from the place called Be'er Lahai Roy, the well of the living seer, Be'er Lahai Roy, at this time in Genesis 24, verse 62? Well, this was the place, the spot, interesting, where Yitzhak Isaac returned from, the Be'er Lahai Roy. This was the makom, the spot where Hagar encountered the Malaak Yahweh, the angel of Jehovah, in Genesis chapter 16, verse 14. And later, after Hagar was so to speak run out of the mishpacha, the family, she was said to have settled in this very area. So Yitzhak, Isaac, seemed to return to this area, perhaps to establish some sort of relationship. It's thought that Isaac, returning from this place where Hagar and her son went to, was seeking to establish some sort of relationship with this half-brother, so to speak, Yishmael, or perhaps even with, you know, Hagar herself. Question number 33. What happened when Rebecca first saw? What happened when she first saw Yitzhak? What happened when the bride saw the bridegroom? In Genesis chapter 24, verse 64 to verse 65. Well, when she saw Yitzhak praying, right? I think in KJV it says meditating. He was meditating in the field, bringing out the sense that he was praying with deep concentration. And witness, some say, perhaps a malak, an angel, standing beside him, it said that she bowed deeply. And then, according to what is written, explaining what is written, fell off her camel. In fact, in the Hebrew, it says that she, what happened to Rivka when she saw Yitzhak? She tipol me'al ha'gamal. Tipol, she fell me'al from above, or upon, right? Hagamal. She fell off her camel. She then asked Eliezer, right, who the man was. And immediately after she asked that, she covered her face when she had learned that it was Yitzhak, Isaac. Question 34. What was the biological relationship between Sarah and Rivka? What was the biological relation? Well, Rebecca was the, quote, grandniece, the grandniece of Sarah, who was said to strongly resemble Sarah in many ways, so much so that some would say that people could not tell them apart. But another part of the narrative that can back that up is that Isaac was comforted, so he must have saw some likeness, no doubt, reminding him of Emo Sarah, his mother Sarah. Question 35 brings us to this question here. Why did Yitzhak, Isaac, take Rebecca into his mother's tent? You note that right there in Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, verse 67, it reads that Yitzhak took Rivka into his mother's tent. Well, there's a teaching, a midrash, that states that after the death of Sarah, some say the Shekinah, like the cloud of glory, had left from above her tent. And the Shabbat lamp, it was said, would no longer remain miraculously lit from one Shabbat to the next. And the scent of bread that she baked for the Shabbat faded away. All these were said to be restored when Rebecca came to live in her tent. And thus, so again, bringing out that verse and that word which says that Isaac was comforted, you know, after, you know, the passing of his mother based on his kala, his bride, Rivka. Question 36. Why does the Torah not mention that Yitzhak, Isaac, mourned for his mother until after? Some question that, well, why doesn't the Torah mention that Isaac mourned for his mother until after he was married to Rivka, after he was married to Rebecca in Genesis 24, verse 67? Well, another teaching on this, the Midrash, it says that Yitzhak was not aware, may have not been aware of his mother's death, since he had remained in Moriah, some say, to study with Shem for 3 years after the Akedah incident, right? So it seems as though, like, he might have been away, some say. Only after this did he return to the Negev, to the south country, to the Negev, and married Rivka. Question number 37. Who was Keturah? Keturah. Who was Keturah? Who was Keturah in Genesis 25, verse 1? Now, some say Keturah was most likely, some say, a Canaanite woman. Right. Others say other things. It does not name what her nationality or, you know, affiliation was. Right. But she bore Abraham six more children. Right. After the death of Sarah. The name Keturah. It means fragrant. Fragrant, and is related to the word for incense, and in Hebrew, incense would be like ketoret, fumigation/incense, ketoret. Among the six sons that she had with Abraham, was Midian, of whom the Midianites, and called Medina, Midianites would descend. Moshe lived with Jethro. Remember Moses, he would live with Yitro and the Midianites for 40 years. For 40 years. Now, there's some question whether she should be regarded, some say, as a concubine, or she should be regarded as a wife. I don't know why, you know, there should be that particular question according to Torah, just to bring this up right here, because according to Torah, it clearly says in Genesis chapter 25, verse 1, then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Among some Judaic circles, they have this circular reasoning, you know, whether she should be regarded as a concubine or a wife. But when you compare Genesis 25 and 1, right, also they compare 1 Chronicles 1 and 32. Though some Judaic commentators claim, some claim that she was actually Hagar with a different name, who had remained faithful to Abraham after she left the family. You know, SMH right there. Question number 38. Whom did Abraham designate as his only heir? Who did, according to the Torah, according to Genesis chapter 25, verses 5 to 6, who did Abraham designate as his only, right, monogenes, his only heir? Abraham gave all he had to Yitzhak, although, according to the Torah, he gave, quote, gifts. It said that he gave gifts, right, to his children, right, from Hagar and Keturah. Hagar and Keturah. Yes. Interesting. Abraham and his third wife, so to speak. Question number 39. How old was Abraham when he died? Genesis 25, verses 7 to 8. Just a couple more questions here, Chavarim. How old was he? Abraham was 175 years old when he died. This means he lived, according to what is written in HaTorah, this would mean that he lived for 38 years after Sarah died. It's kind of interesting because in the New Covenant, there's what's written, said, and from one as good as dead, right? You know what I mean? On the birth, you know, conception and birth of Yitzhak. And then we have after Sarah died, he would live for 38 more years. Question number 40. Who buried Abraham, and where was he buried? According to Genesis 25, verses 9 to 10, he was buried in the Me'arah HaMakpelah, in the cave of Makpelah, by his sons, Yitzhak, Isaac, and Ishmael. Question 41. After Abraham died, what did Elohim do to Yitzhak? What did Elohim do to Isaac, according to Genesis chapter 25, verse 11? Now, this is an interesting reason, man, though we don't have time here to get into it, but just take note of this right here. What did Elohim, Yahuwah, Atzmo, right, himself, blessed Yitzhak? Since apparently, and this is one area of some, you know, Torah scholars and I disciples reasoning sometimes, isn't it interesting that apparently it seems that Abraham failed, or he did not, right? He failed to formally bless Yitzhak, Isaac, before he had died. And then we have for the narrative where it brings out that Yahuwah himself, like, blessed Yitzhak. So that's what Yah had done for Isaac after his father, Abino Abraham, had died. Yahuwah himself blessed Yitzhak, since apparently Abraham had failed to formally bless him before he died. Question 42. Why does HaTorah, why does the Torah list the generations of Ishmael? Why does HaTorah, the Torah, list the generations of Ishmael in Genesis chapter 25, verses 12 to 16? Well, this is to demonstrate, based on the Torah, right? This is to demonstrate Yahweh's promise, El Shaddai's promise to Abraham. And what was El Shaddai's yea and amen to Abraham? It was that Ishmael, he would father 12 princes, father 12 princes and become great. This was fulfilled. Here, Genesis 21, verse 13. Question 43. How old was Ishmael when he died, according to Genesis 25 and 17? Ishmael is recorded as dying at the age of 137. Question 44. Is it ever acceptable to ask Yahweh, to ask Jah for a sign? And if so, what criteria do you use? So the question here, question 44, just three more. This is one of the three. Is it ever acceptable to ask Yahweh, Jehovah, for a sign? And if it's so, that it is, you would say, what criteria do you use or would you use? Now, this right here is more of a reasoning. Come, make a reason. You know, reason for oneself or reason with others in the study right here. This is a discussion question right here. Is it ever acceptable to ask Yah for a sign, an oath? And if so, what criteria would you use or do you use? Question 45. Why didn't Abraham simply instruct Yitzhak not to marry a Canaanite woman? You know, ones look over and say, well, Abraham is very insistent about this, had Eliezer, his servant, and the other servants go out there. But why didn't Abraham just simply instruct Yitzhak not to marry a Canaanite woman? And why did he need to go through the services of Eliezer? Now, this two right here, why? This too is like another kind of discussion, you know, question or reasoning. Some say, this is just what some say, you know, to start out the reasoning, perhaps it could be that Abraham was afraid that Eliezer would convince Yitzhak to marry a Canaanite girl after Abraham died. He just didn't leave it up to what would happen, right? And therefore, Abraham had him, Eliezer, to take this solemn oath not to allow this to occur, right? And lastly, but not leastly, right here, for Chaye Sarah, the fifth sabbatical study here for the Shabbat Strong, question 46. How is Eliezer, a picture of the Ruach HaKadosh? How is he a picture of the Holy Spirit? Some see in Eliezer a type of a picture, right? A word pick here in HaTorah and the Torah scriptures of the Holy Spirit. This too, right? This too right here, a matter of reasoning, discussion. Coming forward, we got generations, the sixth sabbatical study. We have Toldot, generations, picking up with Genesis chapter 25, verse 19 to chapter 28, verse 9. Haftarah, the prophet's reading from Malachi, my angel, Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 to chapter 2, verse 7. And the Brit Chadasha, right, in the New Covenant reading, the New Testament, we have Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 31. Chabarim. Yes. And here, you know, let's go to maybe a little Rhema tune right here. But just to namesake, we'd like to share, I think this is Isaac Haile Selassie, one of the adopted youths of Kadamawi Haile Selassie right here for Abata Chinhoy, Our Father Prayer, and also the Salam to Mariam, also Our Lady Prayer right here. All right, yes, sir, Rastafari, here, Abata Chinhoy, Our Father, and Our Mother, Our Lady Prayer.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of all trespasses, that we forgive all those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Sila. Excellent is thy name, O Jah, in all the earth.
ታግባን ከክፉ ሁሉ አድነን እንጂ መንግስት ያንተ ናትና ኃይል ክብር ምስጋና ለዘላለም አሜን። እመቤቴ ማርያም ሆይ በመልአኩ በቅዱስ ገብርኤል ሰላምታ ሰላም ልሻለሁ። በሐሳብሽ ድንግል ነሽ በስጋሽም ድንግል ነሽ። ያሸናፊ እግዚአብሔር እናት ሆይ ላንቺ ሰላምታ ይገባል። ከሴቶች ሁሉ ተለይተሽ አንቺ የተባረክሽ ነሽ። የማህፀንሽ ፍሬ ጌታ ኢየሱስ ክርስቶስ የተባረከ ነው። ጸጋዬ ተመላሽ ሆይ ደስ ይበልሽ፣ እግዚአብሔር ካንቺ ጋር ነውና ከተወደደው ልጅሽ ከጌታችን ከመድኃኒታችን ከኢየሱስ ክርስቶስ ዘንድ ይቅርታ ለምኝልን ኃጢአታችንን ያስተሰርይልን ዘንድ ለዘላለም አሜን። እግዚኦ ማርና ክርስቶስ በስመ አብ ወልድ ወመንፈስ ቅዱስ በስመ አብ ወልድ ወመንፈስ ቅዱስ በስመ አብ ወልድ ወመንፈስ ቅዱስ አሃዱ አምላክ አሜን።
The Lord's Prayer in English, Ge'ez, and Amharic. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Ge'ez, Abune Zebesamayat, Yitkadda Simika, Timsat Mengistika, Weikun Fakareka, Bekama Besamai Kamahu Bemedir, Sisayene, Zalele Elitene, Habeneyom, Hedig Leni, Abesane, Wagagayene, Kemene Hineni, Nehedig Lezi Abesa Lene. Ita'abi'ane igzi'o, wiste men sut alla' dihanene, wabalihane imkullu ukuy ismi zi'ake yi'itte men gisthail, wasibhat la'alam, alam, amin. Amharik, abbatachin hoy, besamayi mitinur, simiyik addas men gisthetim ta' fikade besamayin honech indihum bamidir tuhun, yi'ilat injalachinin sit anzare, badilachininim yikirbalen, in yami badilu yikirndaminil. አቤቱ ወደ ፈተና አታግባን ከክፉ ሁሉ አድነን እንጂ መንግስት ያንተ ናትና ኃይልም ክብር ምስጋና ለዘላለም አሜን።
This is Psalm 24 without apology. Muta Maruka and Luciana. Trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The world and they that dwell therein.
And they that dwell therein. For he hath found it upon the sea.
He hath founded it on the sea.
And established it upon the flood.
Establish it on the flood.
Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jah? Who shall stand in the hill?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands and a pure heart.
And pure
who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He hath received the blessing from Jah and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. Generation of them that seek him.
This is a generation that seek him the most high God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Lift up your head, O ye gates.
Oh, lift up
and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in.
And the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
I say,
shall come in.
And the King of glory, yes, the King of glory shall come in.
Who is this King of glory?
Say,
Emperor Haile
Selassie.
He is the King of glory.
King of glory.
Who is the King of glory?
Who is the King of glory?
Who is the King of glory? Emperor Haile Selassie, Emperor of Ethiopia, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Conquering Lion in the tribe of Judah. He makes up himself Light of the World.
Haile Selassie is astute. Ethiopia is very happy. Be her confessor. Oh, Haile Selassie, sanctity becomes you.
Yes, yes, yes. So this one is dedicated to the Rastafari Abraham and Sarah, as his magic said. As Sarah was to Abraham, so was Tege Menon to Kedemar Haile Selassie. Right here, here, here. Alpha Omega, son of God.
What do you see the Babylon system? The Babylon system is a vampire, deceiving the people day by day, building church and university. Because, you know, we're here at church now. The church, the Bible is here. The Bible is here that in Christ coming, we will be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, right? So when we look over, we say, I will still ask it.
Hence by the king watch them on the ring when me fly down far. We step on the beast and kick down with him like a slide down bar. We burn in the system, we tell the youth if we fight gun far. Uplifting Mrs. String, tell us the last I love star. We love Wally, Babylon the system falling. But this is just the beginning, beginning of the grand finale. Finale because eventually we get the cause. Now we stand up tall and we gang up cause. United we stand divided, we fall and we love. Whoa, oh, walk with the Prince of Peace, Philosophy of the leader. Praise his feet to the Kings of Kings, Alpha and Omega. On their face and bloodshed on their shoulder. Turn from your sinful way, yeah, before lightning strike all over. Well, if I catch a city where your cars can get a yacht, then you have the other city, see, come give me gun for shoot. And I chat all you like the city, well, this is the ugly truth. When you bring all the guns, come give me give it to my recruit. Big revolution, one time the guns them turn for the old politician. We bring it come in the first place, I should have fun education. We make the youth them learn, instead of buy ammunition. And you want come run the next turn, go run up under your bed. Boy, put your hand on your head. Me terrible and me dread, corrupted politicians be dead. Boy, want to coral garden, don't have to valley garden. Come like a pre every garden, no revolution breach every garden. Go put this up in the greener, me want it breach every reader. If you not live like Haile Selassie, you not fit to be chronic leader. Walk with the Prince of Peace, Philosophy of the leader. Praise his be to the Kings of Kings, Alpha and Omega. Up until my people are free, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be. In the last days when the youth them are free, dread and terrible. Give thanks and praise for the King of Kings. Praise his feet to the Prince of Peace. Master, give thanks and praise to Alpha and Omega. Empress Meninah.
that the best way to reach people in your opinion?
I am not trying to reach people. I am what I am. And there's a lot more people like me out there, which is my people. So I'm not trying to reach a strange people. The people that I'm reaching is my own people. We all know the same thing. We're all coming this time. It's our people. It's not nobody else's people, but our people.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. 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 Selah.
מזמור כ"ד לדוד מזמור. לאדוני הארץ ומלואה, תבל ויוש ובה. כי הוא על ימים יסדה, ועל נהרות יכונניה. מי יעלה בהר אדוני, ומי יקום במקום קודשו? נקי כפיים ובר לבב, אשר לא נשא לשווא נפשי, ולא נשבע למרמה. יישא ורחם את אדוני, וצדקה מאלוהי ישעו. זה דור דורשיו, מבקשי פניך יעקב זל. שאו שערים רעשכם, והנשאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. שאו שערים רעשכם, ושאו פתחי עולם, ויבוא מלך הכבוד. מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות, הוא מלך הכבוד, סלע.
לדוד מזמור, לאדוני הארץ ומלואה, בבל ויוש ובה, כי הוא על ימים יסדה. והנהרות יכונניה, מי יעלה בהר אדוני, מי יקום במקום קודשו? נקי כפיים ובר לבב, אשר לא נשא לשווא נפשי, ולא נשבע למרמה. יישא ורחם את אדוני, וצדקה אלוהי ישעו. זה דור דורשיו, מבקשי פניך יעקב סלע. זהו שערים ראשיכם, ינשאו פתחי עולם. ויבוא מלך הכבוד, מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני עזוז וגיבור, אדוני גיבור מלחמה. שאו שערים ראשיכם ושאו פתחי עולם. ויבוא מלך הכבוד, מי זה מלך הכבוד? אדוני צבאות, הוא מלך הכבוד סלע.
Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam.
Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, Shavua Tov, Shavua Tawab, Shavua Tov, Shavua, Shavua, referring to the week, or more correctly, that
You have
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, shall fear him, shall fear him, shall fear him, shall fear him. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help, thy saving help, thy saving help, thy saving. Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, 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 shall fear him. God be merciful unto us, and bless us. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah.
Baruch Hashem, Yeshua Shalom, be well, brothers and sisters. Hashem Yeshua, Yesa, Shalom.